Well, this afternoon, we're ending our series called The Clothing of God. Over the last two and a half months, we've been doing this series called The Clothing of God. And it comes from Paul the Apostle's writing to the Colossians in Colossians chapter 3. And basically, in the early verses of Colossians chapter 3, Paul the Apostle says this, basically. He says, as followers of Christ, you must avoid sins such as, in verse 5, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry, anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips in verse 8. And then he goes on in verse 12 to say this, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with. And then he lists the spiritual pieces of clothing, the spiritual virtues that we are to clothe our spirits with. Now, I've used this illustration before and it bears repeating. On a really cold winter's day, it's important that you clothe yourselves with what?
Layers.
If it's freezing out there, it's important that you put a heavy jacket on to keep away the flu, to keep away the cold, to keep away illness, right? Yeah, on a really hot summer's day, it's also important to clothe yourselves correctly, right? Maybe wear a hat to protect your head. Wear lightweight clothing so your body can breathe, right? Wear some sunblock lotion on your skin, right? So that your skin doesn't burn, right? Well, guys, you know what? It's the same way in the spiritual realm. We are to clothe our spirits with these virtues that Paul lists in Colossians 3, verses 12 through 17. And last week, we talked about the spiritual piece of clothing called the Word of Christ. Now, what is the Word of Christ? The Word of Christ is this right here, the Bible. From Genesis to Revelation. He says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Not poorly, but richly. That word richly means abundantly. In order for the Word of Christ, the Word of God, to dwell in you, to take up residence in your heart abundantly, you've got to do what? You've got to be reading the Word of Christ on a consistent and daily basis. You may be able to read only two or three verses a day. And then after some time, you may go to one chapter out of the Bible a day. And then maybe some time after that, you're able to read two and three chapters out of the Bible. But not just once a week that you read the Word of God. It's important to read the Word of God on a daily basis, right? So that if you're reading it daily, it is being stored up on the inside of you richly and abundantly. And this Word of Christ that is stored up on the inside of you ministers in three different ways. How does the Word of Christ taking up residence on the inside of us minister? It ministers to us personally. How many here have personal struggles in their thought life? In relationships? With forgiving others? Well, guess what? If the Word of Christ is stored up on the inside of you, it's being stored up on the inside of you, when you face a personal challenge, guess what? That Word of Christ will speak to you. It will minister to you. The second way that the Word of Christ ministers is that if it's stored up on the inside of us, we're able to minister to others this Word of Christ. We're able to teach others and admonish others. Like Paul the Apostle taught whom? He taught Timothy, right? God may send a Timothy across your path that you're to share the Word of God with, the Word of Christ with. The Word of Christ on the inside of you is to admonish others. What does admonish mean? It means to warn, to caution. Somebody may be going left, and the Word of Christ on the inside of you rises up, and you tell the person, no, you need to go straight. And the third way that the Word of Christ on the inside of us ministers is that it ministers to God as we sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in our hearts to God. Saying, God, your word says that you're the creator of heaven and earth, and I thank you for that. God, your word says that you gave me eternal life through the work of your son, Jesus Christ, and my faith in him, and God, I thank you for that. God, you have given me new breath. Your word says that you have given me my breath, and I thank you for that. God, your word says that the hairs on my head are numbered, and I sing you songs of thanksgiving for that. What are you doing with the word of Christ stored up on the inside of you? You're ministering to God, right? With that word that is stored up on the inside. Well, this afternoon, we're going to talk about this final piece of spiritual clothing, the 11th piece, called the name of the Lord Jesus. And it's found in Colossians 3:17. If you have a Bible, you can read it with me. If not, I'll read it to you. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. And in whatever you do, whether in word or deed, action, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. This covers all bases of a person's life. In whatever you do, you know, it just covers every part of a person's life. It says, whatever you do, whether in word or deed. What does he mean by this? In whatever we do. I think he means two different things.
Everything in life that we do.
Exactly. Two different things. The first one is this. In our daily activities, in interacting and communicating with other people, let your life be reflective of the person behind the name, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll say that again. In our daily activities, in interacting and communicating with other people, let our lives be reflective of the person, with a big P, behind the name, the Lord Jesus Christ. What am I trying to say? Simply stated, let everything we say and do be a living example of the Lord Jesus to people that we interact with. God may send baby Christians across your path. He may send more mature Christians across your path. He may send non-Christians across your path. As you interact with them, as you have relationship with them, as you have friendship with them, as you communicate verbally with them, let your life be a living example of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let your life reflect the person, Jesus Christ, behind the name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I received an email some time ago, some years ago, and I think it illustrates this point really, really nice. And this is what it says. A few years ago, a group of salesmen went to a regional sales convention in Chicago. They had assured their wives that they would be home in plenty of time for Friday night's dinner. Well, as such things go, one thing led to another. The sales meeting lasted longer than anticipated. Their flights were scheduled to leave out of Chicago O'Hare's airport, and they had all to race pell-mell to the airport. With tickets in hand, they barged through the terminal to catch their flight back home. In their rush, with tickets and briefcases, one of the salesmen inadvertently kicked over a table which held a display of baskets of apples. Apples flew everywhere. Without stopping or looking back, they all managed to reach the plane in time for their nearly missed boarding. All but one. He paused, took a deep breath, and experienced a twinge of compassion for the girl whose apple stand had been overturned. He told his buddies to go on without him and told one of them to call his wife when they arrived at their home destination and explain his taking a later flight. Then he returned to the terminal where the apples were all over the floor. He was glad he did. The 16-year-old girl at the apple stand was totally blind. She was softly crying, tears running down her cheeks in frustration, and at the same time helplessly groping for her spilled produce. As the crowd swirled about her, no one stopping or to care for her plight. The salesman knelt on the floor with her, gathered up the apples, put them into the baskets, and helped set up the display once more. As he did this, he noticed that many of them had become battered and bruised. These he set aside in another basket. When he finished, he pulled out his wallet and said to the girl, "Here, please take this 20 for the damage we did. Are you okay?" She nodded through her tears. He continued on with, "I hope we didn't spoil your day too badly." As the salesman started to walk away, the bewildered blind girl called out to him, "Mister!" He paused and turned to look back into those blind eyes. She continued, "Are you Jesus?" He stopped in mid-stride and he wondered. Then slowly he made his way to catch the later flight with that question burning and bouncing about in his soul. Are you Jesus? Do people mistake you for Jesus? That's our destiny, isn't it? To be so much like Jesus that people cannot tell the difference as we live and interact with a world that is blind to his love, life, and grace. If we claim to know him, we should live, walk, and act as he would. Knowing him is more than simply quoting scripture and going to church. It's actually living the word as life unfolds day to day. You are the apple of his eye, even though we too have been bruised by a fall. He stopped what he was doing and picked you and me up on a hill called Calvary and paid in full for our damaged fruit. Friend, the point is this. You may be the only Jesus another person ever sees. You may be the only Jesus another person ever sees. Will people mistake you for Jesus in what you say and in what you do? Will you be the hands and the feet and the mouth of Jesus to somebody who is in greater need than yourself? You know who we are? As followers of Christ?
Ambassadors.
Ambassadors? We are representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ. Will we give him a good name or not? What should the answer be? We will give him a good name. A name. Let's say it together. I will give the Lord Jesus Christ a good name as his representative. You know, I think it's interesting that Paul the Apostle lists this virtue, the name of the Lord Jesus, as the last piece of spiritual clothing. He lists it last, I believe, so that we can remember it. Normally, we remember the last thing a person says, right? You kind of remember the last thing that you read in a book, right? You kind of remember the last part of a movie. I think Paul the Apostle lists this virtue, the name of the Lord Jesus, last because he wants us to remember it. And I also think he lists it last in Colossians 3, verses 12 through 17, to show that all the other virtues in verses 12 through 16 are perfectly fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the perfect fulfillment of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, forgiveness, love, peace, harmony, thankfulness. He's the perfect fulfillment of every one of these virtues, of each of these pieces of spiritual clothing. Now, Jesus Christ lives in you and me, right? And we live in him, right? And compassion is perfectly fulfilled in Jesus, right? So as his representatives, we're to be what? Compassionate in all that we say and do. If he lives in us and we live in him, and he's the perfect fulfillment of kindness, and we're his representatives, that means in all that we say and that we do in interacting with others, we should be kind, right? If Jesus is the perfect fulfillment of humility, gentleness, patience, forgiveness, harmony, and we are his representatives, what does that mean? In all that we say and do, we are to demonstrate kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, forgiveness, love, and harmony.
We are a follower of Christ.
We are followers of Christ. We must reflect the person behind the name, the Lord Jesus Christ. In all that we do, whether it be in word or deed, Colossians 3:17, right? Let me read you another story here about another man who was the hands and the feet and the arms of Jesus. A nurse took the tired, anxious serviceman to the bedside. "Your son is here," she told the old man. She had to repeat the words several times before the patient's eyes opened. He was heavily sedated because of the pain of his heart attack. He dimly saw the young, uniformed Marine standing outside the oxygen tent. He reached out his hand. The Marine wrapped his toughened fingers around the old man's limp ones, squeezing a message of love and encouragement. The nurse brought a chair so that the Marine could sit beside the bed. All through the night, the young Marine sat there in the poorly lighted ward, holding the old man's hand and offering him words of love and strength. Occasionally, the nurse suggested that the Marine move away and rest a while. He refused. Whenever the nurse came into the ward, the Marine was oblivious of her and of the night noises of the hospital. The clanking of the oxygen tank, the laughter of the night staff members exchanging greetings, the cries and moans of other patients. Now and then she heard him say a few gentle words. The dying man said nothing, only held tightly to his son all through the night. Along towards dawn, the old man died. The Marine released the now lifeless hand he had been holding and went to tell the nurse. While she did what she had to do, he waited. Finally, she returned. She started to offer words of sympathy, but the Marine interrupted her. "Who is that man?" he asked. The nurse was startled. "He was your father," she answered. "No, he wasn't," the Marine replied. "I never saw him before in my life." "Then why didn't you say something when I took you to him?" "I knew right away there had been a mistake, but I also knew that he needed his son, and his son just wasn't there. When I realized that he was too sick to tell whether or not I was his son, knowing how much he needed me, I stayed." The next time someone needs you, just be there and stay. That young Marine was what to the dying old man? He was the hands and the arms of Jesus. In all that we say and do, like that Marine, let our lives reflect the person of Jesus Christ. Let our lives be living examples of the Lord Jesus. So number one, in all that we do, Paul is talking about what? Our daily activities, right? Interacting and communicating with others. But I also believe Paul the Apostle is talking about what? When he says, in all that we do, whether in word or deed. I believe he's also talking about formal ministry settings. When we speak and act in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, whether it be one-on-one, maybe God may send you to share His gospel one-on-one on the streets of downtown Tulsa on a certain day of the week. Maybe in the future God has set up for you to speak to a group of people at one time, whether it be here in Tulsa or in another country. In all that you do, in those formal ministry settings, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. There is power in the name of the Lord Jesus. Look at Mark 16. Mark 16, verse 15. Mark 16, verse 15. He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." Verse 17. "And these signs will accompany those who believe." How many believers do we have here today in Jesus Christ? "In my name," here's the key, "in my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people and they will get well." It's all in what name that these miracles occur? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is power in the name of Jesus. Look at Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. The man who was brought to the gates, beautiful, at the temple. He was crippled. How many remember that story? Peter and John were there. He was put there every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave him his attention. Verse 5 of Acts 3, expecting to get something from them. And what did Peter say? Verse 6, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. the name of Jesus Christ is of greater worth than silver or gold. You know, people in the world think that silver and gold have a lot of influence and power. But guess what? There's something that has more power than that. And it's the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you speak that name, demons will be cast out. When you lay hands on the sick in the name of Jesus, the sick will recover. You will speak in new tongues in the name of Jesus. If a snake bites you, some insect bites you, guess what? In the name of Jesus, it will not harm you. If someone tries to poison you, in the name of Jesus, that poison will not affect you. There is power in the name of Jesus. There's salvation in the name of Jesus. Acts 4, verse 12. Peter speaking to these Jewish rulers who were basically getting on his case. And Peter says in Acts 4, verse 12. Let's back up to verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called on account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed." Verse 12, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." Friends, salvation of a person's soul from hell is in the power of the name of Jesus.
Power in the blood of the Lord.
There's power in the blood of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus to save a person's soul from hell. To save a person from the grip of sin. The name of Jesus. Philippians 2, Paul writes about the name. Just got a few more verses here and we'll be closing. Philippians chapter 2. Talking about the work of Jesus Christ on Calvary. Verse 9, Philippians 2, 9. "Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow." The knee of sickness and disease has got to bow to the name of Jesus. The knee of demon possession has got to bow to the name of Jesus. Amen? Every knee has got to bow to the name of Jesus. In heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The knee of poverty has got to bow to the name of Jesus. Why? Because there is power in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's say it together. There is power in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. One final point here. You've got to have a relationship with Jesus in order for His name to have power when you use it. It's very important, friend. You have got to have relationship with Jesus in order for that name to have power when you speak it. You know, some people think that speaking the name of Jesus is some type of magical thing. You speak the name and the miracle occurs. Uh-uh. It ain't that way. The seven sons of Sceva found that out. In Acts chapter 19. How many know about the seven sons of Sceva? They did not have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So look at what they did. Paul was in Ephesus, ministering. People came from Asia, heard the word of the Lord. In verse 11 of Acts 19, it says, "God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured, and the evil spirits left them." Verse 13, here it goes. "Some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, 'In the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out.' Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. One day the evil spirit answered them, 'Jesus I know, and I know about Paul, but who are you?' Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding." What was the problem here, friends, with these seven sons of Sceva? They tried to use the name of Jesus as if it was something magical, and it's not. What did they lack? What did the seven sons of Sceva lack? They lacked relationship with Jesus Christ. So that when they used his name, the demons were not cast out. Faith, that's it. Now listen to this. You have got to be under authority to have authority. You have got to be under authority to have authority. You have got to be submitted to the lordship of Jesus Christ in every part of your life to have authority when you use his name. Submitted to the lordship of Jesus Christ. He wants relationship with you. He wants to be your master. He wants to be the one in charge of your life, in charge of the thoughts that you think. Jesus Christ wants to be in charge of what you do with your body. He wants to be in charge of your spirit. He wants to be in charge of your finances. Jesus Christ wants to be in charge of your relationships. He wants to be master and Lord of every part of your life. And it's only when you're submitted to his authority over every part of your life that you will have authority and power when you speak his name. Does that make sense? See, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus and you're not building that relationship, when you speak his name, nothing happens. I was in India. Some of you may have heard this story. I was in India back in 2000 doing a village evangelistic meeting. 250 people there, 300 people. Southeast India. And Jesus Christ is my Lord, right? Anyway, I was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and in the front, this lady starts to wiggle like a snake in the middle of the message. So I just stopped right there. I said, in the name of Jesus, you foul spirit, I command you to come out of her. And guess what? Immediately, what happened to her? She became still and calm. She sat up, wasn't disturbing anybody anymore, and I preached on. In order to have authority with the name of Jesus, you've got to be under his authority and lordship. Look at Colossians 3:17. When Paul refers to Jesus in Colossians 3:17 in this last piece of the clothing of God, how does he refer to Jesus? He refers to him as the Lord Jesus. Trying to communicate what? That this Jesus has got to be your Lord, your master, the one in charge of your life, the one who has authority over you, the one to whose authority you're submitted to, so that when you speak his name, demons tremble and flee, so that when you speak his name, the sick get well, so that when you speak his name, financial miracles happen in people's lives. He says, in all that you say and do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. He's trying to say, Jesus has got to be your Lord and Master for his name to have power when you speak it. You know, when a U.S. ambassador goes to another country, he's submitted to what? When a U.S. ambassador goes to another country, right? A representative of the United States goes to another country, what is he submitted to? Okay, but he's submitted also to the headship of the U.S. government, right? So his actions and his words carry what? A lot of weight. That ambassador is under authority, right, of the U.S. government. So that when he does something or says something, he has power and authority. It's even more important in the spiritual realm. We're ambassadors of Jesus Christ. It's only when we're submitted to him, his lordship over our lives, that our words and our actions will carry miracle-working power. You might be thinking today, well, Jonathan, you know what? I'm so much in need myself. But friend, I'm here to tell you today that there is somebody out there that is in greater need than you. Greater need than you, believe it or not, that God is going to send you across their path to minister to. Like that man with the bruised apples and the blind girl, he ministered to her. He was Jesus to that girl. And then he says finally in Colossians 3:17, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Just say in your personal prayer times, devotional times, in the name of Jesus, God, I thank you for your manifold blessings on my life. New breath today, eternal life. This body, a place to live. A roof over my head, a Bible that I can read. Eyes that I can see with. In the name of Jesus, God, I thank you for every good thing that you've given to me. So in all that we do, whether in word or deed, we're going to do it all in what? In the name of the Lord Jesus. In our daily activities, right? We're going to be the hands and the feet of Jesus, the mouth of Jesus, to those in need. And in ministry settings, we're going to speak the name of Jesus and miracles will happen. Why? Because we're submitted to what? His Lordship. Amen.